So welcome to the Ecom Growth Show, where we cut through the chaos of ecom growth and show you how to build a business that scales and supports the life that you actually want. I'm your host, Brittany, former boutique owner turned growth strategist for ecom owners like yourself. And today I'm joined by co-founders of Shopanova and Bloom, Robbie Switzer and Danny Stafford. We created this podcast to pull back the curtain on what's really working to grow Shopify brands to consistent 100K plus months without burnout or guesswork. Whether you're getting traction or scaling fast, this show is designed to help you simplify, focus, and grow with purpose.
Awesome. Okay. So on today's episode, we're going to be diving deep into what it truly means to scale and own a $100,000 a month e-com brand. So we're sharing the behind the scenes of what most people don't share and some of the top secrets to get you there. If you're looking to scale to $100,000 months, or you're a business owner who's already doing that and looking for just some peace of mind or some simple tips, then this episode is specifically meant for you. Okay, so diving right in, there is the myth and the glamour of $100,000 month plus, right, for business owners. And then there's the reality of it. And I feel like on social media, you see like the boxes being stocked up and like all the cutesy photos and like this projection of wealth. But then we get to interact with the owners on a day-to-day, very real basis and say like, you know, what is this really like? So getting started with like myth versus reality, what's the biggest myth that you guys think that's around having consistent $100,000 sales months for e-com business owners?
I can jump in there unless you wanted to go at first, Dan. But I think the biggest myth that I see is people think it takes a very complex approach to even hit that amount of revenue. And it's like the people that actually are getting there have figured out how to do one thing and do it really, really well. Obviously, you don't want to stay there forever. Typically, at the 100K mark is kind of when we start diversifying channels, traffic sources, things of that sort, and really optimizing even the storefront and conversion rates. But I would say getting up to that point really is just about having really good content, some simple Facebook ads that are designed to convert, and a site that has a reasonable conversion rate. With just like a flagship offer or a flagship product, maybe two or three products that are really selling well. So I think the myth is like you need SEO, influencers, affiliates, organic, like everything firing at once. But that's kind of the thing that I see.
I'd say the big myth too is once I get to $100,000, then I'll finally be profitable. I'll finally get to pay myself and I'll finally get to live out my dreams and take my family to Disney World. But it's so funny because I was just like a couple months ago now, I was talking to someone and they're doing like right at $70,000 a month. She's like, yeah, once I get to like 150K, I'll finally be able to pay myself. And like, this is all going to make sense. I'm thinking you're doing $800,000 a year and you're still not paying yourself. That might be a red flag. And I talked to someone else that was doing 150K and they're like, once I get to 250K monthly, then I'm going to be able to take home what I need to for this to all work out. So I was like, man, more just chasing this unlimited amount of money doesn't mean you're necessarily going to pay yourself more. Actually, you could actually keep getting farther and farther away from that goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think that's one of the biggest ones that I see consistently is like, if I make $100,000 a month, like all of my dreams are going to come true. I'm going to be so wealthy and all these things. And then on the back end with consulting people, like we see the financials and it's like, hey, like, okay, you know, you're doing $100,000, but you're millions of dollars in debt, or you haven't paid yourself since the beginning of business and now you're completely burnt out. So seeing like the flip side of that.
And really quick, not only that, it's like, okay, what is going to change once you hit, let's say 100K a month and up your salary to whatever you want it to be? Like, how does your life look different? Typically you hear things like, well, I'm going to spend more time with my family. I'll be more present with my kids. I'm going to take better care of my body. And it's like all these things where it's like, do you really need to hit 100K to do those? Do you really need to hit 100K to start making progress? And that was actually mine and Daniel's story. We kind of like did the whole vision map of like dream business outcome, and a huge percentage of the life we wanted to create was available even before we got there.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to business performance.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I did a similar activity myself, and it's also something I like coach clients through, is like, how much is your dream life actually cost? Mm-hmm. And every single time it is so much closer to people than they can actually like just imagine. Like even I had someone and they're like, okay, well, I want a boat. And I'm like, okay, you don't necessarily need to buy a boat. You just want to have a boat. How much is it to rent a boat? It's $300 for the day. Okay, can you do that? And they're like, I can do that. I'm like, okay, then go boating this weekend with your family. Have fun. And they're like, this is amazing. You know, so anyway, 100%. Okay, something that you guys just talked about, and I love this because this is like the cycle. So it's like you hit your 50K month and it's like, oh yeah, soon as I get to 70K, then I'm going to blank, or once I hit 80. Where does that come from? And then how do you stop it and actually just like create the life that you're looking for?
I think it comes from not having clarity on what you actually want, and you're just chasing more all the time. Like I've been caught in that trap of like, I just want more without knowing why. And then it's an unlimited chase that just leads you to burnout and feeling ungrateful, right? There is a point in e-commerce where you're not going to make any money. Like if you're only doing $10,000 a month online, you're probably not going to pay yourself much. And I wouldn't recommend you do. I recommend you scale to 30, 50K, right? But build in those habits of paying yourself early once you're at that level, and then get very clear on the life you want to live, and make sure that your business serves that vision instead of vice versa. Because I think oftentimes that gets flipped, where we start then serving our business, which kind of defeats the whole purpose of owning a business at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like once you have that vision in place, that ideal life, that ideal business, recognize the difference between seasons and lifestyle. Because it's like, for a season, I might be working 10, 12 hours a day. For a season, I might be putting most of my profit into ad spend, but I'm not going to build a lifestyle around that unless it's the lifestyle that I want. So we can use seasons to get us to a lifestyle, but it's very
easy. Look at that.
It's easy to fall into a trap of just living there, you know?
I think we need to record anything else. I think that was amazing. And we can just mic drop on that note. Man, that's so true, though. That is so true. And I think some people confuse that. I mean, the whole reason I feel like I can even talk about it is because I did it. It's like, oh, this is just temporary. This is just temporary. Then temporary becomes 3 years and burnout and lots of therapy. And then you're like, oh, snap, this was just supposed to be temporary. So yeah, seasons versus lifestyle. That's awesome.
Have you ever been caught in that cycle though too, Brittany, of just chasing more without knowing what that meant for you?
Oh, 100%. Like when I first started my boutique, my first initial goal was $3,000. And it was very specific because this is also, by the way, baby Brittany over a decade ago with no business experience. I was like, okay, my margins are 50%. That's about $1,500. And that's what I had budgeted for rent and utilities for, you know, a rental. And I was like, okay, this is great. Well, the first month I did over $6,000. And it literally blew my mind. And I was like, well, now what? Like, now what do I do with all this? Or I wasn't expecting that. And then it just was more, 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 more until, yeah, I share this a couple different times. But my like aha moment was I was going live about 2 to 3 times a day at one point, which was exhausting for me.
Wow.
It was exhausting. And it was a nighttime live sale. I typically loved going live, but it was just too much chasing that like more monster, so to speak. And I found myself crying before a live sale, like weeping, not cute tears type crying, like weeping, ugly snot weeping. And I just cracked myself and I was like, this is not the reality I want to be living right now. And that's when it kind of changed. And I started focusing on my values and living according to my values versus chasing that more monster, basically. So
it's so gnarly. Like when we're the marketers and promoters of our business, you kind of feel like there's a little bit of a performer in you. Like you have to show up and do the live sale, or you have to show up and film the ads. But like literally holding back tears, going into that moment, it feels like so hard, but sometimes you just have to do it. But yeah,
you have to do it. I like how it wasn't cute tears either. We've seen Brittany just sent us a video of cute tears just in Slack, but it was not that, huh? It was full on ugly cry.
No, it was like just ugly, nasty crying. Cause I was so burnt out. I think I just came to a place. I was just so burnt out, and I was so, and it was coming from being misaligned within myself. Cause I can hustle and love it like a season. But then if it feels like it's no longer a choice and I'm shaming myself into it and it's not aligned with my values, that's a check within myself now. Now I'm like, okay, check yourself before you literally wreck yourself. So
now, I remember days driving to the office and seeing people work outside, like doing construction. And I'm like, God, so jealous of them right now. Like they have to just put a tool belt on and just hit a hammer all day. That sounds so nice because I'm so burnt out with what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
Mentally and just exhausted what I built. Like that looks really nice. So if you can avoid getting to that point in your business, I'd recommend it.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
So the better alternative to more is closer. And you can only get closer unless you know where you're going. So the vision, trading closer for more. Each step you take, you just try to get closer to that dream business, that dream lifestyle that supports the dream lifestyle that you actually want.
I love that. Yeah, I think it's about a lot of times I think that people focus on the sales, just the sales versus the feeling and what they're assuming the sales are going to give them once they get there. So if we can reverse that and focus actually on like the clarity of our lives and what we're actually desiring, what's the heart of that thing that we're looking to get once we get to that sales, it becomes so much easier, ironically, to then get to that sales number.
Mm-hmm.
As we're aligning our lives, we feel happy, we feel in alignment, like we feel joy showing up with it because our vision and our values and our actions are all in alignment.
Let's you give up control too, because I see people get caught in the trap of like, I have to do this all myself, and they get to 100K almost by themselves, and then the business just drowns them at that point because they're unwilling to give up any type of control because they're scared of letting go. And so a lot of times at that point, then things just collapse on them because they haven't gotten that level of clarity. What types of hires do I need to make so that I can take care of myself? Business keeps going on without me wearing all the hats. So I think that's extremely important too from that perspective, because once you get there, you can't sustain that very long by yourself.
Yeah. What it takes to get to $100,000 a year is very different than $100,000 a month. And that's a huge part of it, because as your business evolves, you have to evolve as a human being, but then also like your role evolves, your leadership evolves. And things that once mattered, like going live 3 times a day, don't matter as much anymore because it's the delegation. And I think for a lot of people who are stuck, honestly, between that 50 to 80 mark, part of the reason they can't scale is because they are in the way of delegating more so they can. Is a lot of times like the sticking point I find when I'm working with different e-com owners is, like, okay, like what's going on here? I can't break 80K. And it's like, well, you can only ship so many hours in a day, love. Like,
right. Well, and it's funny. It's so like one side of the token is 100K months don't matter that much as it pertains to like you building the ideal lifestyle that you want, work-life balance, emotionally healthy. But on the very other side of that same token is it's like making more money does solve a lot of problems inside of your business. So once you're hitting that, like now all of a sudden you can afford to have somebody pack the orders. You can afford to bring on a marketing manager who's responding to people on your social media and doing all these small tasks that like you don't need to be filling up 8 hours of your day with.
Yeah, for sure. So a lot of times I feel like when, I mean, this was me back in the day too, 100%. I was focused so much on sales and it was all about sales. Like that was like the end all be all number. Why do you feel like so many entrepreneurs focus just on sales versus profit or things like sustainability more so?
That's a good question. I think because we have these ideal revenue numbers, like I want to hit $1 million in a year and that's going to feel good. I think it comes back to wanting to fill a need within yourself. Like once I hit this, it's going to feel nice. And you don't care about a lot of aspects of the business that you should because you're chasing this dopamine hit or this elusive goal of one. It's kind of what we've been talking about. Once I get here, this is going to feel nice, right? And then you're like, shit, I'm not even paying myself yet. I'm not even going to the gym or spending time with my family. What have I built? Then yeah. You've gone back to the drawing board. So again, that's why we spend so much time focusing early on of like, hey, make sure you pay yourself, make sure you take care of yourself and make sure this is sustainably built in a way that's going to serve you.
Yep, for sure. One of the first things when anyone signs up with Bloom, one of the first stops is like a vision worksheet, getting crystal clear in your vision. So you kind of mitigate the pain, I feel like in part, that we've all experienced and get that clarity for yourself. But number two is filling out the CEO dashboard, which is getting clear on your financials and your numbers so that you can scale profitably, so that you can be empowered. I know for years, just for me personally, like diving into all the financials, I felt so overwhelmed. I saw a spreadsheet and I'd be like, have a little panic attack. And then I realized like, oh no, like me not knowing my numbers comes at a cost. That also makes me anxious. And knowing my numbers actually makes me feel more empowered.
Yeah.
Which
yeah, that's so good. And it's like when people come in and they're like, I don't need vision. I just need my ads to work. It's like, okay, well, we can help with that too. And then we'll scale to 150K a month and the business is going to crumble. Not actually crumble, but then they get to that point and they're like, oh God, I need vision and figure out what I'm building here because this is intense.
100%.
I think too, it's like, it can be a little bit intimidating to see how little is left over by the time you factor in all of the costs that are inside of that CEO dashboard. Mm-hmm. We're kind of like, it's a little bit of a deflating process where it's like, okay, if I do hit 30K next month, but I pay this in shipping per unit, these COGS, these rental fees, and you just kind of chip it down. It's like, oh, that's doesn't get me, you know, all the way to where I want to be. I'm actually going to have to do like 40 or 50 or 60,000 to really be kind of hitting my goals. So I think that's one reason too that people focus on just like the sexy number of 100K a month. Because once you whittle it all down, you realize there's just a lot to manage, and it does take a certain amount of volume to really get the benefit from your business. But if you don't manage it, like if you don't measure it, you can't manage it. So it's better just to have clarity around all those numbers and figure out how to make progress on that.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things is, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's not the number you'd like to see, at least you know it, because then you have the information and the ability to fix it, is one of my biggest things. So now, like looking at financials, it's like, okay, like that's not exactly the number I'd like to see on the credit card statement. However, I know this is real, it exists, and I can do something about it. So feeling like a little bit more empowered from it, for sure. Awesome. Okay, so there are different ways to scale to $100,000 months, as you both know. I feel like there can be a little bit more of an aggressive scaling method, right? And then maybe you've worked with brand owners that are a little bit more conservative, slower paced. What are the pros and cons of kind of both? I'd love to know, because you've worked with owners in both camps. I personally have an understanding for myself. There is such thing as scaling too quick, just because I've personally seen it. And then I've helped entrepreneurs almost from a therapeutic level, honestly, through the healing process of it on the back end of it. So anyway, I'd love to know pros and cons of both. What are your thoughts?
Rob, I'll hit the pros, you hit the cons. How about that?
Okay.
So the pros of scaling quickly, once you have a product that you know people love, right? is just getting that to as many people as you can before competition arises. I don't mean that from a place of scarcity, but there is something to be said about capturing market share while the product is hot and the offer is working well. And so from that perspective, it's like, if you have something that you know is working, why not scale that up quickly and take market share from your competitors? Spend more money on ads, you know, even if you're less profitable, so that way you do acquire more customers and can, you know, squeeze more out of them over the lifetime value and grow the business rapidly. And then maybe go into more of a holding profitability phase once you have a pretty well-oiled machine built where you can launch new products now to your customer base and stuff. But I'd say that's one of the biggest pros, is just grabbing market share while you know it's working, because that same product or offer might not be working 6 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
That's an excellent point. That's a really good point though. Yeah, for sure.
And then the cons are just like all the things that you would see inside of your typical growing pains, which is like, you fall behind on customer service, you get way overstacked with orders and your customers are mad at you. You actually miss opportunities to pivot and make things better based on a feedback loop between the brand and the customers, just because you're going so fast scaling what you already have. Whereas like the brands that we've actually seen scale the biggest, they had a line of products and an offer where it was like, man, they're going to take this thing to the moon. But it was like every quarter there was new products and an iteration of those new products. And that is what I believe has built them up to now doing like 40. I think they'll probably do 50 million this year, just because they're always getting feedback and they're always iterating. And so if you scale too fast, like you might miss opportunities to do that. Another just growing pain with going too fast is finding the right help. I think sometimes, I know for us, when we've scaled a little bit too fast in the past, we've settled for less than ideal employees. And it's manageable at first, but then the fallout of that is so big, it's like, it's better just to get it right from the start, even if it means you have to move a little bit slower to find the right person.
Man, for sure. Yeah, I feel that.
There's probably a lot more, but those are probably some of the big ones.
Hey, yeah. Slow is and smooth. Smooth is fast, Rob.
Yeah. And just literally, if you definitely don't want to scale fast if you don't have clarity over your numbers, because you can have a pretty big financial hole.
Right.
Yeah. So when you're working with founders and they're like very ambitious about scaling, how do you know from like a mindset perspective, like, oh yeah, this person's ready. Like they get it and they're ready to go to $100,000 plus months. What does that look like for you guys?
I would say action takers is like when I see somebody come into our group and they're like, hey, I already did XYZ and I've launched my ads. And even if they like did not a great job, but it was like, oh man, they're getting work done, getting it to the finish line. Like, I feel like that's such a valuable skill, because it's the idea of progress over perfection. Mm-hmm. I think the doers just tend to do really, really well. Whereas the people that overanalyze their actions and they take forever to send an email or get a campaign out, those people tend to have a more difficult time, especially because we live in such a fast-paced landscape in the digital world. Like, you just have to be able to move pretty fast.
I also just want to have a shout out for all my anxious babes. I see you, and that doesn't mean you can't be successful if you have anxiety, because your girl also has anxiety. So just want to shout out to all the anxious loves out there who are listening. Just in
anxious babes.
Oh my!
I was gonna say too, Rob, on that point, the action takers. Yeah, that's super important. But it's also people that believe that they can get there.
Ooh.
Because if you don't believe you can get there, you'll just self-sabotage over and over again and you won't get there. I remember Robbie and I went through this program when we first started, and we like accelerated to the top and had some of the best results in the program because we're like, dude, this is going to work for us. We're going to do exactly what they tell us to do and like make it work. And then there was other people that were like, oh, this isn't working. And they were like, I don't know if I could, you know, it was the same. We're all doing the same shit, but we just believed that it was going to work, and it did, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, for sure. Something I see a lot of times is realistic. Like, they're realistic about like expectations, what the process is going to be like. Yeah. They're realistic about their goals. Something I see sometimes is it's like, oh, okay, I'm doing $10,000 a month. I want to do $10 million a year. And it's like, okay, well, you're not doing your work. You're very inconsistent. Like, you're not doing the thing that would make you be like that. So,
yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. It's like, okay, cool. How long have you been at 10,000 a month for? Oh, like 2 years. Okay. So in like 6 months, you're trying to get to 100,000 a month. Ah, it's like, well, you've been stuck for 2 years at 10K. What makes you think you're going to jump to that level all of a sudden?
Yeah. But like, they have a lot of times, like I'm thinking through some of our clients who scaled like really quickly and have had a lot of success, but they just had realistic like expectations of themselves, of the growth process. Like, yeah, like I know it's going to be hard work. I'm going to have tough moments. Sometimes things aren't going to work or they're going to break. I have the ability to figure it out, I think, is one huge one. Like, they're resilient. This is figure outable. Not like, I don't look at failure as a bad thing. It's a way to learn. Like, that kind of mindset, I think, is really important.
Yeah. I'd say too, just on the topic of people being realistic, people that understand, you know, as I'm scaling, it's not going to be a straight line. Those people tend to do really well. Because I think there's a lot of times where it's like, oh, you hit your best month ever, and then you expect every month after that to continue just to climb month by month. And then like, as soon as it dips, even if you're above where you thought you were going to be, if you have a tendency to like self-destruct or do an all pause everywhere, or like just like jump off the train because you saw a dip and you think things are tanking, that can be really detrimental to your growth as well. The reality is nothing does move in a straight line. And as you grow, you'll hit some good months, then you'll dip down and hit some good months. And it's just always going to be kind of a little jittery. But as long as it's kind of trending in the right direction, that's what you're looking for.
100%. And I think we need a part two for this conversation, because I think it's so important for so many e-com owners.
Yeah.
I'd love, just to wrap everything up, just one word of encouragement if someone's trying to grow their brand right now to that $100,000 a month, like one word of encouragement from you guys.
I'd say, first of all, you can do it. You just got to believe in yourself and take the action needed to get there.
Yeah. And even like in Dan's example, where it's like, maybe you have been stuck at 10K for 2 years. It is possible to get up to 100K over the next 6-12 months, but it does take the right system. And typically that system is probably more simple than what you've tried already. And it's probably a little bit more focused, because I think a lot of the times people get stuck on a plateau in the first place is they're always trying the next shiny object, and they're just like kind of spinning their wheels in the mud. Where if you have a plan, you can make incremental progress and get there probably easier and quicker than you think. It just really does take focus and simplicity.
Thanks for tuning in to the Ecom Growth Show, where clarity replaces chaos and strategy fuels freedom. If today's episode sparked any idea or gave you a clear next step, we'd love for you to subscribe, share it with a fellow brand owner, and leave a review so more entrepreneurs can grow with intention, not overwhelm. For more resources and real talk on scaling your Shopify brand the smart way, follow us on Instagram @ Shopinova. Until next time, keep growing with purpose.